Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now, coming up on the show, we talk to former banker turned thinker and blogger Michael Krieger. But first, American polymath inventor and founding father Benjamin Franklin once warned, quote, "Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech." Huh. Worth pondering those words the next time you find yourself cheering on military contractors acting on behalf of social media companies, deplatforming voices you find unpleasant. Stacy?
Yes, we are talking about the wave of deplatforming by Facebook, by YouTube, Google, Twitter. All the social media platforms are deplatforming certain voices that have been deemed, I guess, national security threats or voices that shouldn't be heard. But I thought that quote from Benjamin Franklin was quite interesting, because you remember about Benjamin Franklin is that he's considered the first American. He was the father of the American Enlightenment. He was one of 17 children, so his father could only afford to send him to school for 2 years. And yet he learned how to be this great man using his own mind and resources and reading information. And the fact that he said it's subduing the freeness of speech, which is much more subtle than a lot of other people will say, which is absolute, like free speech or not. This is very subtle, that even a little thing of just subduing the freeness of speech around you is a danger.
Well, I believe that Ben Franklin understood that the mind must not have gatekeepers, that it must be open, and that the job of any individual is to train your mind through education to be able to handle all that information. And this is the whole history of philosophy. Ben Franklin was not the first philosopher, but he's the American philosopher, and he espouses the American philosophy. And this philosophy is one of freedom of thought and speech as the foundation for a free people.
Well, yes. In fact, one of his primary focuses was on freedom of speech, and that was as a resistance to authoritarianism. So we have a headline here from Vice, which, by the way, Vice News is now owned by Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News and Wall Street Journal as well. And the headline reads, "Deplatforming works. Alex Jones says getting banned by YouTube and Facebook will only make him stronger. The research says that's not true." And it's almost gloating, this article, by the way. But the belief that among people who have studied deplatforming is that in the long term, it does work, though it may have some unintended consequences, which is, they say, like pushing extremists further into the dark. But the research that these people have done is that it actually works, and it does generally, their support for this person they deplatform, generally their support falls off. And in a pretty significant way.
I think it depends on the individual and the strength of their message. Throughout history, we've had examples of individuals that have been deplatformed, going back to Martin Luther and the Reformation against the Catholic Church, Martin Luther King, throughout various religions, you have this idea of martyrdom. If the message is strong and you make a martyr of the messenger, the ideas become ironclad.
So I think it's time now to talk to Michael Krieger of LibertyBlitzkrieg.com. As you said, he's a former banker who's turned a philosopher himself. He writes very interesting posts over there at LibertyBlitzkrieg.com. So interesting that, in fact, Fox News's Tucker Carlson read an extremely long quote about the real danger of this censorship, you could call it, by these huge corporations, these social media corporations like Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Michael Krieger, just give us your overall thoughts about what's happening right now.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So we've actually, the three of us have discussed this over the years. I mean, this was something that was a long time coming, and you could see it coming for ever since essentially the wrong guy won the election. Trump wasn't supposed to win. And so once that happened, the people that hold a lot of sway and power in this country decided, okay, well, we need to make sure this sort of thing can't happen again. And what they determined was that there were too many people spreading their own ideas, and essentially exposing the system as a corrupt fraud, so that people got so angry they decided to just, you know, give a big middle finger and elect Trump, even if they didn't like him, just as a sort of, this is how much we resent you, right? The establishment, or the political establishment, let's say. So that's the background. I mean, as soon as you started seeing, don't forget that, you know, my own website was slandered. So I knew this was coming. My own website was slandered. It was listed with 199 other websites on Thanksgiving weekend in 2016. So 3 weeks after the election, I was falsely accused of essentially being like a Russian propagandist with my website. So I could see how dishonest, what dishonest liars the corporate media were and the establishment was, and what they were willing to do. In other words, make stuff up about dissident voices to try to gain control of the narrative again. So you knew right then and there it was coming. Then, you know, you saw the way Mark Warner pushed Facebook. Essentially, don't forget, Facebook originally went and said, we don't see any Russia propaganda on our site to rig the election. And then Mark Warner and Obama intervened and basically forced them to find something. And then they came out with these ridiculous number, these Bernie memes and stuff, and half of them were done after the election. And then Facebook went ahead and it's been hiring ex-intelligence officers to work for them to try to screen news. Now Facebook is using the Atlantic Council, right? This military industrial complex neocon think tank to tell them what is fake news and what isn't fake news. So it's really simple. It's just a matter of the narrative needs to be regained by people who think they are the ones who should be given the right to form the narrative.
Well, let's follow up on that Atlantic Council thing, because they're more than just neocons. They are financed by NATO and Gulf monarchies. So NATO in particular, we have quite a conflict with Donald Trump. Donald Trump has vowed to kind of like slash their budgets, and NATO commanders were saying horrible things about Donald Trump. So here are these NATO who wants more money from the United States and wants to continue their moving closer and closer, their bigger military budgets in order to take on Russia. And they need Russia as a bad guy. NATO definitely needs Russia. That's the only reason why they even exist in the first place. And once the whole Cold War ended, their existence was threatened. So what about the role of NATO in determining what Americans, which Americans are allowed to speak and which American voices are legitimate?
Sure. So you mentioned NATO. I want to mention a few other companies and entities funding the Atlantic Council. But one of the top contributors is actually the United Arab Emirates, which is playing a key role in the humanitarian disaster in Yemen, by the way. And some defense contractors also are directly giving money into that. The way I see it is what is NATO, right? As you mentioned, NATO is this alliance that dates back to the, you know, World War II period and post-World War II period as a way to contain, you know, the spread of communism in Russia, et cetera. Now, you have to see NATO as just one institution, you could say, of the post-World War II paradigm that we've been living under. And I believe, my view is just one angle of this, but all of the major institutions that have essentially been running the world since World War II, including the U.S. dollar standard, I believe all of it will be basically destroyed within the next, let's say, 7 years, up until around 2025. So it's all of the, essentially, it's a lot of institutions that no longer serve a purpose other than enriching certain connected elites and perpetuating constant imperial war. And at some point, though, I believe all of this stuff will be swept away because the rest of the world isn't having it anymore. And also, the world's just a different place right now. We're not in the same environment we were before for a lot of different reasons.
You know, Michael Krieger, what's interesting and fascinating to me is that phrase that you used, the wrong guy won the election. And typically, when you hear that, it's American foreign policy. And they're looking at different countries, and America suddenly staged a coup, or they staged a military intervention or overthrow because, quote, the wrong guy won the election. So here you see it domestically. I can't think of a time when this has been the case. The so-called wrong guy won, and all the apparatus, all the deep state machinations have been now employed to try to create a coup situation right here in America, because the wrong guy won. And I said from day one, this would be a constitutional crisis at some point. I think we're headed there because the U.S. has to ask itself, as the Ben Franklin quote suggests, do we support free speech? Do we support a free nation? Or do we want to be like those countries that we're constantly overthrowing? That's the question, Michael.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. Yeah, it's a great point, because if you look at who's been leading the resistance or the assistance, it's been intelligence agency operatives, right? You have John Brennan, Michael Hayden, and James Clapper as three of the key resistance people. And these are three individuals that have a sordid history of crimes and lying to the American public on a variety of issues. And they're all working for essentially corporate media stations now, leading this resistance. So you're absolutely right. It's a great point. The intelligence agency apparatus, which is in control of essentially making sure the right puppet is running foreign countries, is now stepping in and doing the exact same thing in America. But this time, it's because the people chose the wrong guy, the person that wasn't supposed to win. So it's really interesting how it's all coming back home to roost at the end of the day.
Now, of course, a lot of people on the progressive and liberal side are cheering this on because of the trauma of the wrong guy winning. But also Alex Jones, who is getting the most attention for being deplatformed, he certainly does have increasingly bizarre conspiracy theories, particularly with the Pizzagate and the Sandy Hook sort of conspiracy theories. Nevertheless, America has always had conspiracy theorists for hundreds of years since its founding, and certainly Ben Franklin would have encountered many of them. Nevertheless, we never heard him talk about having to deplatform conspiracy theorists. However, despite the silence of the left, there are actually a lot of more left-wing sites being shut down and voices being shut down, Black Lives Matter sort of people, Venezuela analysts, who are, again, you know, remember, the people silencing these Facebook pages are from the Atlantic Council, from NATO, from UAE, from these defense contractors. What do you say to that?
No, exactly. And this is something I'm going to write about in the next few days. If you look at who the tech giants are going after, forgetting Alex Jones, other than Alex Jones, it's enemies of it's geopolitical rivals of the U.S. It's Venezuela, it's Iran, and it's Russia. And it's going to be China, too, increasingly. But they don't really have a state-run media that has any sort of presence here. So they've been in the background. But that's exactly right. Look at who Google just deplatformed today. A big fanfare from YouTube. Iranian accounts. What about, the BBC? What about all these other companies? What about our allies? What about the Broadcasting Board of Governors in the U.S. that uses the exact same tactics as these foreign media companies? It's all about a geopolitical agenda. And these tech giants are essentially working on behalf of spreading propaganda for NATO and the larger military-industrial complex. It's pretty obvious by what they're doing that that's the agenda.
Well, it adds up to a feeling of a stranglehold. You know, it's hard not to feel it, no matter what part of the society or the economy you are operating in. You feel your throat being strangled by forces of monopolization and forces of, let's call it, tyranny. This is a tyrannical period. I mean, I lived through the Vietnam War. I've been around a while, and I've been witness to periods in American history that were highly corrupt. But I don't recall this feeling of being really subjected to outright tyranny, Michael.
The best way to describe it for me is I think this is all symptomatic of empire decline. And so the establishment would not be acting in such a panicked and desperate way unless there was severe concerns that U.S. geopolitical dominance was threatened in a very terminal manner. And so I believe that's what all of this is. It's essentially the forces of empire attempting to stop the progression of history towards a multipolar world, which I believe is inevitable by around 2025. So I look at it just more as all of this as a symptom of something much, much bigger, which is the people in power, really powerful positions within the United States apparatus, terrified that we're entering a multipolar world where they just can't call the shots on everything. I think that's the big picture point of view that I have.
Right. From empire to multipolar world. Michael Krieger, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks for our guest, Michael Krieger of Liberty, blitzkrieg.com. Until next week. Bye, y'all.